If you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, that's where we will be this morning. And we'll pray and then we'll see what God's word says. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come fellowship together, come as fellow believers, lift up your name, exalted in our midst, and worship you. Thank you that we can stop and consider you. And Lord, we ask that as we enjoy the privilege of being able to open your word and hear your very words as inspired by your apostles, that Father, we may take them as the oracles of God and apply them to our life, knowing that that is your will for us. And I do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said last week, as we venture into chapter 2 of Philippians, key verse of the chapter is verse 5. But instead of just reading verse 5, how about we read from verse 1, and we'll see what leads up to that, where it says in verse 1, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And we're considering the need or the exhortation to have the mind of Christ and what it means to have the mind of Christ and the actions that will follow. If you have the mind of Christ, then we establish that someone who has the mind of Christ is selfless as opposed to being selfish. Christ was selfless, not selfish. And if we have Christ's mind and attitude, we'll be the same. And so it begs the question, do you think you're selfish? Does your spouse think you're selfish? Does your children or parents think you're selfish? Do your friends think you're selfish? Those, when it comes to this local church, do others think you're selfish? We can look at children. Very easy to see their selfish actions. They're playing, have all the toys. One of the other children come in and just want one of the 100 of those Lego pieces, yet they don't want to share one. They're not going to give over one of those pieces to that person, that sibling. And so what is your response? Don't be selfish, all right? You need to share. And so on. We can see it so easily in our children, yet we often don't see it so easily in ourselves. Last week we saw that there must have been some sort of problems at the church at Philippi. Some were acting selfishly in the church, and so the Holy Spirit prompted Paul to write to them about living like Christ and not being so selfish. And in chapter 2, Paul starts by revealing to them that there are four things that they have due to being saved that enables them to live a Christ-like life, or have the attitude where we can have the mind of Christ so we don't act in a selfish way. They had all the resources available to them. And I don't intend to explain them again today, but Paul says that as believers they had consolation in Christ, they had comfort of love, they had fellowship of the Spirit, and they also had the means to show tenderness and mercy. So they couldn't say, it is just not in me to be selfless. I would love to, but I can't do it. Now, Paul is saying that as a believer, he has given you all that you need to have the mind of Christ and to act the way that he wants you to be acting. Now, after reminding the believers at Philippi of some of the resources available to them, then he exhorts them. And he tells them, because you have all these things, I want you to start living and acting towards one another in these ways which Christ acted. And he says there in verse 2, if you want to, in my own words, since you enjoy these four things that make it possible to act and think like Christ, he says in verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, make me a happy man, so to speak. That you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and so on. Paul shows them how a Christ-like person acts in everyday life or in a church setting, because that's who he's writing to. And we see here it's a selfless person. And what we're going to do today is have a look at these things. But rather than just go through and list them, I have called it the self-test. Right? If you do the ACE program, you'll have self-tests, see how well you've learnt and how well you're going on that pace. Well, consider this a self-test. But this is to see how selfless you are as opposed to how selfish you are. And so there are seven questions. Seven questions to ask yourself. And hopefully this will either show you that you're doing all right, or maybe there's some things you need to work on, or maybe you just need to really get to work working on all of them. We'll see how you go. I know I certainly don't pass, all right? I'm not sure what a pass mark is in the ACE, but let's see how we go. First question. Are you like-minded? We're told here, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded. First thing, are you like-minded? Now, that could be translated or interpreted quite a few ways. It means that ye be of the same mind, thinking the same thing. And there are many possibilities of how to explain or come to terms with, am I like-minded or not? But basically, the best explanation would be, a like-minded person won't be a troublemaker in a local church. That's probably the most roundabout way to put it. A selfish person can't get on with others. They are always disagreeing. You see, if you have a local church or even a family where there's arguments, disagreements, there's frictions, people are having different opinions and there's troubles and feuds because of that, you can be assured that they are not like-minded. True? There are different attitudes, different mindsets in the church or in the family. They have opposing views. And so either everyone or a few or maybe even just one is being selfish instead of acting like Christ. You see, if a church has the mind of Christ, well then the church should have the same mind. We all are thinking along the same lines as Christ. Now, what if someone doesn't have the mind of Christ? They're going to stand out like a sore thumb, aren't they? If everyone has the mind of Christ, thinking as Christ would have them to think, but someone isn't, well, then they are going to be the one that's at loggerheads with everyone else because they're not thinking along the same lines. And you can be sure they are the troublemaker amongst the local church. You know, the same could be in a Christian home. You could have everyone in the home, mum, dad, children, everybody living in a manner that pleases God. They're seeking to do things God. They're spending time with God. They have a Christ-like attitude. except one. They have a rebellious attitude. They have a selfish attitude. Who is going to be the one that's the troublemaker in the family? It will be the one that doesn't have the Christ-like mind. And they will be at conflict with everybody else. And so someone who is selfish will not be like-minded. They will stand out from those who have the mind of Christ. Everyone else will be wrong. They will be the one who gets upset with everybody else because really, everyone else is not doing what they want. Now, it's true, this isn't always the case. You know, there are some local churches where as a whole, they want to take on a doctrine that is contrary to God's word. Sadly, we have many local churches that want to take on the doctrine that gay marriage is okay. All right? That is contrary to God's word and Christ's mind. And so those who stand up against that local church, they might be deemed the troublemaker, but they are the one that has the mind of Christ. But I might say that is usually the exception rather than the rule. Usually, it's not the case. Usually it's the selfish person that is the one going against the tide of the local church as they seek to have the mind of Christ. And so Paul is saying a church or a home that thinks like Christ will be united in mind. But a church who has someone that doesn't have the mind of Christ, or if a church who is full of people without the mind of Christ will not be like-minded and there will be troubles. So, question to ask yourself. Are you usually the one that's in the middle of all the dramas? At home? At church? Do you seem to be the one where everyone else is wrong and you're the only one that's right? Do you find yourself getting upset with everybody because they don't seem to be doing what you want to be doing? Well, it could be that you are so much like Christ, that you are on such a high level, so near to Christ, that you are truly the one with the mind of Christ and everyone is just not quite there yet. That could be the reason. Or it could be that you're the one that doesn't have the mind of Christ. And the way that you're acting is not like Christ and it is selfish in nature. And so a selfless person is like-minded. They aren't a troublemaker. So that's the first thing. First test. Are you the troublemaker at home, the source of all the dramas, or in the local church or not? Number two question. Having the same love. Do you have the same love? Now, what does that mean? There are two ways that you could look at this, and there's no reason that they both can't go together. Paul could be saying everyone should have the same object of love, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way it should be here. We should here be coming with a common, sincere, genuine love of Christ. That's why we should be coming. That should be our desire. I love Christ. I want to worship my Savior. So I come here to worship Him and to serve others in the process to be like Christ. And so we all should be having the same love, that is, the love of Christ. Now there's the other side of this where if we are all having the mind of Christ, that means we all love each other like Christ, and so we all love each other in the same way. If I have the mind of Christ, and so I love like Christ, I'm going to love Tim the same way that he would love me back. The same would be there if we both have the mind of Christ. Yet if one has the mind of Christ and the other doesn't, they just live for selfish purposes, there will be one loving like Christ, the other, they'll just do what they want. There will not be the same love. Now, where that is amplified is in a marriage. when you have someone with the mind of Christ and they love their spouse the way Christ loves them, yet the other one is selfish, it is noticed very easily. You'll find that one will love regardless, not expecting anything back, where the one who is selfish doesn't show love unless there's an ulterior motive. I better be nice here so that I can get them to do this for me. They only love if they can get something back, which is not the way Christ loves. One will show concern at all times like Christ does, where the other, that doesn't bother me, so I'm not concerned if they're worried or not. They don't show the same love. One will do things and show interest in the other, their spouse, because they love them like Christ loves. Where the one that is selfish and doesn't have the mind of Christ, I'm not interested in that, so I'm not going to even get involved. Oh, I know you like it, but I don't like it, so you can go and do it yourself. I'm not interested. They don't put themselves out and show love in that manner because they are by nature selfish. And I tell you, that is a very sad marriage, particularly for the one who is loving the right way, because there's nothing coming back. Having the same love. You know, that is evidence also in a local church. And what we discover from Philippians is, if you are selfish, you won't love others like they love you. That means you won't be understanding when people make mistakes, even though they are understanding when you make mistakes. Others may be willing to cover up your faults and understand that no one's perfect. But when others make a mistake, you will be on to them as quickly as possible. You don't love the same way people love you back. Some will go the extra mile for you and just help because they want to show love, show you that you care for them. But if the opportunity comes for you to do the same, you're not interested. People will submit to you when you're in leadership, as a sign of the mind of Christ and love. But when you're not in leadership, you're not going to submit to anybody. See how there's two different types of mindsets. One has the mind of Christ, where they love Christ and want to act like Christ and show love to that person, where the other one, they're not interested. But someone who is selfless has the mind of Christ and has the same love. We need to make sure that we love in the same way we are loved. And it should be how Christ does it. So that's question number two. Do you find that you're always taking and never giving? Well, that might be a fail. All right? May not be a pass when it comes to that. Question number three. It says they're being of one accord. And so the question is, are you someone who is willing to be of one accord? What does that mean? Well, the Greek here means to be joined as soul with soul. Joined in soul. And the best picture of that is when you have some people that are, say, protesting about something, and the police come in and they want to break up the protesters and scatter them. And so what do? They link arm in arm and they refuse to be unlinked. We're going to stay here. We're going to be linked together. We're going to be as one. We won't be scattered or broken up. Well, that's the concept, but it's to do with our souls. We are linked in soul. And the wonderful thing is, that's what Jesus says, I am to you. I am linked with your soul. That's why he is able to say, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be there. I will always love you. Nothing will separate my love from you. Because I am linked with your soul. I remember when I got right with the Lord, And I prayed that night and surrendered to the Lord. I remember the prayer very clearly, and I said, because I knew how pathetic I am, I said, Lord, even if I let go of you, please never let go of me. And he hasn't. Even though I've tried to stray, it's, come on, link arms and come back. He won't let go of me. And that's a beautiful thing to have, and that knowledge that that's what our Savior is like. But that's what he wants us to be like as well. That's how someone acts when they have the mind of Christ. I will link my soul with you, and I will not let go. Sadly, a selfish person will do the opposite. They will forsake very quickly. They will criticize very quickly, condemn, and turn on others. Run off to another church because they're not happy with this church. Oh, yes, I will link arms until I'm not happy with you. I'm going over here. I'm linking arms with these guys now. Oh, I'm not happy with you. Okay, I'm going over here. I'm linking arms with whoever I can get to agree with me. That's selfish. It is being linked together in soul. And so a selfless person is faithful to his brother and sister in Christ. The opposite means you're selfish. So, there are three questions. Now, where it goes on in there and says, being of one accord, of one mind, the word one mind is very similar to being like-minded. And so, we'll move on to verse 3, let nothing be done through strife. There are lots of things that we do in the local church, don't we? And they all should have, as the motivation behind it, a genuine love for each other and a sincere desire to do what God wants. True? But what we discover here is sometimes, maybe many times, the motivation behind what we do can be due to strife, or as it says there, vainglory. Strife means to feud, to have contentions. And this shows me that not everything was rosy there at Philippi. The Holy Spirit prompted Paul to say, let nothing be done. All your doings, make sure they're not done because of feuds that are going on in your church. Now, it could be just one person against another. It could be a group of people against another group of people. But we see here that sometimes the reason why people do things is not out of love and a sincere, genuine desire to obey God, but because of feuds. And you know, the motivation behind something means all the difference, doesn't it? If you go and correct someone or show concern because of someone changing in their spiritual walk due to love, that's so different to, well, we're feuding and I've got one up on them now, so I'm going to go and say something about it. The motivation behind it is so important. You know, the reality is a person can go to a lovely church, the church can be a blessing, but then someone says something or someone does something that hurts, and now there's tension, what we would call strife, a bit of friction. Now, if the person is selfish and too proud to forgive and sort it out or whatever needs to be done and holds on to that, the actions after that can often be motivated due to the strife. And that's what Paul on the Lord is telling us. A selfish action, a person is motivated by strife. Now, how is that seen in a local church? Well, I've been around local churches for a long enough to know of some. I could probably spend all day here. Let me give you some basic ones. You got something on? You invite everybody, but you just don't have enough room to invite that person that you so happen to be having a bit of strife with. You leave them out. What's the real reason? Because of strife. Where God says, let nothing be done through strife. This is another one which is even sneakier that I've seen over the years. Person you're having a strife with, you know that they're good friends with this little group of people over here. So what do? You start to make friends with them. Make them your friends and start to draw them in to try and make that person that you're having a bit of strife with jealous. That now I'm friends with your friends. Now that sounds really petty. That's sort of like prep and grade one and two sort of stuff, but sadly it happens in local churches with adults. Or they go and share their deep burden for this person they just so happen to be having a bit of conflict with the pastor and tell them all the bad things they're doing out of concern. Or they share their concern with everybody else that they talk to about that person they just so happen to be having a bit of a strife with. Yet God says, let nothing be done through strife. And sadly, in churches, you can have feuds, people disagree, but it's how you act next that make all the difference. A selfish person takes it further in order to seek revenge. A selfless person doesn't. And so there might be things, I know that we're having a bit of a conflict over here and that we haven't resolved it yet, so I'm not going to act this way just in case my motivation is wrong. Sometimes we don't even know the motives behind why we do, and we need to be careful to check ourselves. And so, a selfless person will not do anything out of strife. Have you done anything due to strife lately? Well, maybe that's a fail too. And the next one is, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Sometimes it's not because you're having tension with someone. You just want to puff yourself up more. And so if you know you're going to get recognized, if you know that people are going to say thank you, if you know that it's going to make you good in the eyes of somebody, you do it. But if no one's going to know, no one's going to thank you, no one's going to see it, well, I won't bother doing it. You know, often it's not until you don't get thanked and you aren't told how well you did something and you aren't given the credit that you realize why you're doing it. You know, you hear most people, I don't think I could go up to anyone and say, hey, so why do you serve in that way? I do it for self-glory. I just want everyone to see me and know me. I don't think I've ever had that. But it has to happen. And so sometimes the only way for you to know yourself if you're doing it for self-glory or for Christ and Him alone is how you react when you don't feel appreciated and you don't get thanked. And you know, if you're feeling a little bit down because you did all this stuff and no one thanked you, maybe you should thank God and say, thank you, God, for withholding that praise or thanks to reveal in my heart a bit of self-glory sneaking in. Okay? Because it will happen. And so, we shouldn't let anything be done through strife or vain glory. Number 6, 2 more to go. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Question, do you consider others to be better than yourself? You know, I do believe this can only come with the work of God. This is not a natural thing for anybody. The natural man always thinks that they are better than others in one way or another. But if you do consider a person more important than you, it will have a huge bearing on how you treat them. Let me give you an example. Just say you sit down for a meal, it's been cold, you just sort of want to relax and you're sitting there in the meal and the phone rings. Phone, okay. You answer it, hello, it's the Queen. I just thought I'd have a little chat. Wow, the Queen the Queen wants to talk to me. Yeah, what do you want to know? And you're not really worried because you think she's very important, so you're getting the privilege. Now, you're going to change completely if you pick up the phone and it's an Indian sort of speaking man from Red Energy wanting to talk to you. You're not going to think, wow, the salesman from Red Energy wants to speak to me. Yeah, what do you want to know? All right? We have a difference. One, you don't think he's that important. You don't really want to listen to him. But if it's the Queen, wow. See how if you esteem yourself lower than someone, well, then you feel privileged to be able to talk to them or spend time with them. Well, that's what we're told here. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That means when someone else has something to say, you want to listen. Wow, I want to hear what they have to say because they know more than me. They're more important than me. And so you will treat them very differently. But if you don't esteem them very highly, oh, what? Ah, who cares what they say? You know, or I'm not even going to bother listen to what they have to say. There is a whole different mindset depending on how you esteem someone. And the truth is, in a local church, there are times when we treat people like the Queen, and there are times we treat people like the Red Energy salesman. We think some are important and worth listening to, and some you can go without. Let me ask you, when you go off to that Friday night ministry, one way, youth group, when you're there at Sunday school, do you consider those ones you minister to more important than you? Or just as important as each other? And so regardless of who wants to talk to you, regardless of who has a need, you feel compelled to help them and hear them out. Well, that's someone that has the mind of Christ. You know, James deals with this problem. The church that he was writing to, obviously, they were esteeming some greater than others. The rich, they made a big fuss of when they came. The poor, they said, oh, you can just sit down there on the floor. And he said this was sin to them. Let's understand that when we don't esteem others more highly than ourselves and we treat people differently, well, then it is sin in the sight of God. So, a selfless person considers everyone more important than them and treats them like it. Last question, do you think of others and not just yourself? It says there in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so, it's not saying you aren't to think about yourself, but you shouldn't be the only one you think about. Think of others also. Consider others. When you're making a decision, when you're going to do something, consider how it affects others as well. And that was the whole debate with the eating of meat that had been offered to idols, and some were struggling with it. It all came down to don't just think of yourself, but think of how it affects others. And that should be our attitude. How does my words, how does my actions affect others? Does it hurt them or not? When I speak about others, how does it affect them in that regard? And I think a very good idea of knowing if you really have the mind of Christ or not is if what you've been doing or saying has been hurting others and it's been made your attention, do you change? Once you realize that. Because sometimes there's a lot of ignorance where we do say things and we don't realize we're hurting people. I do it all the time, I'm sure. And so, but it's when it's been made to your attention, do you seek the change or you just go, oh, who cares? Well, these are the seven questions as a bit of a self-test. Let me go through them very quickly. Are you like-minded and not a troublemaker? Do you have the same love for others that they show you? Are you being of one accord? And are you faithful to others here? Do you do things due to strife or refrain from that because it might be from strife? Do you do things for self-glory or not? Do you consider others to be better than yourself? And do you think of others and not just yourself? You know, if you feel like, hey, I think I failed on a few of these, or I certainly need to improve, just hearing it, being convicted about it, doesn't change anything. As we're told in James, we need to be hearers and doers of the word. Next week we'll see how this is how Christ acted, and he still acts towards us when we see how selfless he truly was. And that's what Paul goes on to show them, a wonderful example in Christ. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you loved us and considered us and didn't just think of yourself, sent your son to die in our place. And even today, we don't warrant your love or care, yet you give it to us so graciously. Lord, work in our hearts. Help us to grow in the image of our Saviour. Fashion us as your work is. Let us not resist your work. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.